Today, many children throughout the world, especially in Holland, in Germany, in the Scandinavian countries, and also in England, celebrate a very special day. For today is the feast of St. Nicholas of Myra, or of a body, depending on which side of his life you look at. He was born near Myra in the eastern part of Turkey, and he is buried in body on the continent, on the peninsula of Italy, in the continent of Europe. He was born of a wealthy family around the end of the 3rd century, and then he, and he was very wealthy, his parents died, left him all alone, and so he gave his money to the poor, for which he was particularly fond and known. In all his life, he took good care of those who needed his help financially and in other ways as well. He was known as a miracle worker as well. He was a thaumaturgus in that sense. And then he went to visit his uncle near the city of Myra and Ancyra. And there, his uncle, who was bishop of the city, died. And the people and the bishops of the province unanimously elected him to succeed his uncle in the office of bishop. And of course, that meant that he had to be ordained through all the different ordinations that are necessary in order to be fully gifted with the fullness of the priesthood, which is the episcopacy. He also, as Bishop of Myra, was called upon to participate in the Council of Nicaea, the first ecumenical council. And it was there that he left his mark as well, when the arch-heresiarch Arius came and began to spew his heresy before the fathers of the council. And most of them, of course, like usual, were aghast and did nothing and said nothing. St. Nicholas got up from his chair and rushed towards Arius and immediately pounded him on the face, beating him up and condemning him for his heresy, that he refused to believe in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And of course, Arius was condemned, and at the end he tried to make a deal, but he was punished by God on his way to signing a document which was false, right on the streets of Nicaea, his stomach exploded, and everything came out, and he died immediately. And so it was the will of God not to allow such a one to participate in the sacred mysteries of the church. St. Nicholas also was known for other miracles on the way to the Council of Nicaea. And of course, in those days, bishops and others traveled with a good number of persons for protection and because of their dignity. They stopped at an inn where they were to spend at least one night. But St. Nicholas could smell, as it were, something evil there. And so, perhaps guided by the Holy Spirit, he asked the owner of the inn to take him down into the cellar where he kept his meats so he could look at them and see which ones he wanted cooked for him and his guests. While he was there, he noticed there was a big vat in the middle of the room, and it was full of salt, because meat was cured with salt in those days. And he blessed the vat, and immediately three little boys came out who had been kept there to be fed to the crowds by this evil innkeeper, who at the moment then fell to his knees and repented for his wicked sin of being a cannibal and forcing that upon others, as well as abusing physically little boys. And so, of course, St. Nicholas is very important in that sense today, too, when we have so many who are participating in such evil things, though hopefully not eating them as well. But he was, and he was going to serve them to St. Nicholas and his guests. And then another of the things that he is very famous for, and which later on was translated into the legends, which have nothing to do as such with the reality. He heard, when he first became bishop of Myra, he heard of a family whose girls had no money for their dowry. Until very, very recently, even the last century, if a girl wanted to marry into a proper marriage or good family, etc., even if a girl wanted to go into the convent, they had to bring with them a dowry of money, hundreds or thousands of dollars worth of money to give to the future husband, to give to the monastery, to take them, because after all, they're going to feed them for the rest of their lives. So they had no dowry. So as a result, there was no prospect of any kind of a good marriage. So St. Nicholas had bags of gold thrown down the chimney of these girls. And when they woke up, of course, they had these bags of gold, which was their dowry, and they had good and profitable marriages. There are many, many miracles of which St. Nicholas is are credited to St. Nicholas, including the fact that on several occasions he saved sailors who were about to drown. Their ships were going to go under in the waves and storms, and St. Nicholas appeared and saved them. And as a result, St. Nicholas, among many other things, is the patron saint of sailors because he saved their lives. Now, as years pass and the Dutch in particular and the Scandinavians became Lutherans and Protestants, they lost the faith. They didn't believe in the saints. So there was still this remembrance of St. Nicholas, the Bishop of Myra. And so they invented some kind of a being of some kind. That would give gifts to children on Christmas Day. That coming from the gift that he gave to the girls for their dowries, and many, many others besides. And so, of course, not wanting to dress him up like a Catholic bishop, which he was, they then invented this red suit and so forth, and the reindeer and the elves and so forth. And so a new legend arose that has nothing to do with the original. Not that it's wrong to believe in the person of such, of the fictitious person of Santa Claus, but Santa Claus is really coming from the Dutch, in which St. Nicholas was called Sant Claus, Claus for Nicholas. And so Sant Claus became in England and in America Santa Claus. And so that's how we have today this legend, which is not real, but which comes from the very, very real person and magnificent, miraculous life of St. Nicholas, St. Claus of Myra, or of Bari. Later on, when the East was taken over by the Muslims, Italian sailors went and took his body from the sanctuary in Myra and brought him to a beautiful sanctuary that they built in the city of Bari on the heel of the boot of Italy, in a beautiful Adriatic city on the Adriatic Sea, which is now kept by Dominican priests and which I and others have visited. And to this day, the relics of St. Nicholas emit a fragrant, milky substance, which is called the manna of St. Nicholas by the Italians. And this manna, this milky substance, is mixed with holy water and given to the faithful, and many, many miracles have proceeded from this very wonderful relic of St. Nicholas of Bari. Even in this parish, a few years ago, I gave some of this amana of St. Nicholas to a young boy who was basically going to die because of his heart and many other problems, and he was healed. And he's still alive, though he doesn't live in Pensacola any longer. So we give thanks to St. Nicholas. And of course, I have no idea what happened to my little bottles. They have disappeared. Probably somebody meaning well put them in their pocket. But anyway, God knows what he's doing and what will happen. But in the meantime, we pray to St. Nicholas of Bari and ask him to pray for us and to intercede for us and to procure for us all the miracles that we need. And of course, in other countries, it is this day where the children wake up and inside of their shoes they find goodies and fruits and all kinds of things that is their Christmas present on the feast of St. Nicholas, who brought presents. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.